weeks and months would have been smaller if Boris Johnson had introduced tougher restrictions last autumn. And for the first time in the history of the Oscars, two women have been nominated in the Best Director category. BBC News.
With Vijay Alice. Hesitation, deviation and repetition are strictly forbidden in Just a Moment. Jenny Eclair hosts a special episode of Just a Minute. That's after this. On BBC Radio 4.
When a story has stuck, Sally is convicted of murder. How do you get beyond it?
It just didn't make any sense to me.
To the truth. I can't help thinking that Stockholm Syndrome is a cliche. Well, sometimes you've just got to find a new story. It was coincidence. Tragic, horrifying coincidence.
Matthew Syed explores the ideas that shape our lives through stories of seeing the world differently. Sideways, Wednesday afternoons at 4, and find previous episodes now on BBC Sounds. Now on Radio 4, Jenny Eclair takes the reins for a special edition of Just a Minute, recorded remotely from living rooms and back bedrooms all over the country.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, I'm Jenny Eclair, and as the minute waltz fades away, it is my pleasure to welcome you to Just a Minute and to welcome our audience who are joining us via remote recording technology from living rooms and bedrooms all over the UK. And who knows, maybe even all over the world. I'd also like to introduce four familiar players of the game who are joining us for Just a Minute this week. They are Paul Merton, Shabby Corsandi, Julian Clary and Pam Ayres. If you've heard the show before, you'll know I'll be asking them to speak on a subject that I give them for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation. If you haven't heard the show before, well, where have you been? It's been going for 50 years. So let's begin. Shappy, we've got a lovely subject for you. You're going to love this, Shappy. Artificial intelligence. Good luck. 60 seconds to speak on that subject, starting now.
Artificial intelligence, or AI as the cool kids call it, is something I wish I possessed. Occasionally I wish that I could bring...
Oh, we have a bus!
I know. Yes, my bad.
So, Julian, what are you picking Shappy up on for?
Repetition of wish.
Yes.
No. Wish and wish.
All right, OK. It's not Christmas, it's not Panto. Calm down, everybody. Julian, you win a point for being correct in your challenge. You have 50 seconds left on artificial intelligence. Your time starts now.
Well, I just don't like this.
Oh, sorry, oh, sorry.
Oh, for goodness sorry. Sake.
Pam!
Let me explain. I'm very sorry, Julian. I was trying to move my phone so that it was propped up and I could get a better view of it, and my thumb dabbed onto the buzzer. So I apologise. I didn't.
We've all been there.
Sorry.
I'm going to hand that round back to Julian. He wins a point for being, unfortunately, accidentally fat-thumbed, interrupted.
And noble. He was very noble about it,
I thought. Was noble about it, wasn't he?
He was.
But anyway, he's still got 50 seconds to talk on a tricky subject, artificial intelligence. Time starts now, Julian.
It's a very unpleasant thought. People driving down the road with no driver behind the wheel, or you might go to the doctor and some mechanical robot will probe you with fingers in every orifice. That is artificial intelligence. I mean, I don't cope very well with human intelligence, but the thought of everything being taken over and no good will come of it. There will be a time when the world will be in a terrible state if it isn't already, and we can put that down.
Pam has buzzed.
I think there was a repetition of terrible.
Well, if you think there was, Pam.
Well, I thought there was.
Well, Julian, we thank you for your contribution. It's probably a good job that Pam has interrupted you. And we're going to give Pam just 21 seconds to talk about artificial
insemination.
Artificial intelligence. 21 seconds on artificial intelligence. Your time starts now.
Artificial intelligence is the process of computers thinking like us. And already they can do chess, but that is a bit cerebral for me. I would like a computer which could play more simple games like Ludo, Snakes and Ladders and Dominoes and had little...
We have a buzz from Paul.
Yes, was that a repetition of computer?
Yes.
Oh, OK. Cammy being interrupted by Paul, he was right, he takes the round with just 4 seconds to go. Paul, artificial intelligence, your time starts now.
Gary Kasparov, the chess grandmaster, was challenged by a computer called Deep Blue in 1989.
Paul speaking as the whistle went. Well done, Paul. And, Julian, let's see what we have for you. Ooh, now, this is an interesting one in these times. This round is called A Big Night Out. Do you remember those? Let's find out. You have 60 seconds. A big night out starting now.
A big night out in Australia means you start about 5 o'clock with a couple of tinnies, then you get down the pub, meet some Sheilas, have a few jars.
Paul has buzzed in.
Sorry, did you say Australia?
I did, yes.
Why are you doing an Austrian accent?
That's Australian.
Australian, is it?
Have you been to Australia?
No, not that place, no. Never been there.
Do you have a proper interruption under the rules of just a minute?
Yes, incorrect pronunciation of a national dialect.
I think, what we'll do there, I think it's a regional accent. It's a region that not many people know, but I believe in Julian. I trust Julian, but I am going to give Paul a point for his interruption. However, back to Julian with his big night out. He's got 52 seconds starting now.
I'm not going to carry on with my authentic Australian accent, if that's the tone of people. Got home about 4 o'clock in the morning, me and a friend Jose. We was completely hammered and I lay down on the...
We have a bus from Paul.
I'm sorry, this is just insulting to a large body of people.
What's the problem?
There's people in Austria listening to this. And it's deviation because he said he wasn't going to do it anymore and then he did it again.
Paul, you get a bonus for a good challenge. We're going back to Julian, however. He has 34 seconds. Big night out, starting now.
We drink the schnapps and Wiener Schnitzel is very modest. It goes on and then for us.
Now he's doing an Australian accent. That's Australia. That's pure Melbourne.
Is that a challenge, Paul, or are you just encouraging him?
No, I'm congratulating him. He's found it at last.
Right, OK. 28 seconds, Julian, starting now.
I woke up in... Oh, my head was hemorrhaging.
Ham has buzzed in to save us all. What is your challenge?
Hesitation, for God's sake.
Yes. Very long minute.
Pam wins a point. I can't believe we still have 25 seconds on the clock for a big night out. Pam, your time starts now.
My heart sinks at the thought of a big night out because it usually means people who've drunk too much and they laugh in your face and the smell of the food they've just eaten is on their breath and it's altogether over the top. What I prefer for a big night out is to take a flask of cocoa and go into the woods, which first have been checked for axe murder, and listen to the whirr of the nightjar, the call of the owl, and the song of the nightingale.
Pam was speaking as the whistle went. She wins that round, and it's your turn to start. You have the subject, a dog's dinner. Do you have a dog, Pam?
Yes, I do.
How many dogs?
Only one now.
OK, so your house doesn't smell too badly. OK.
She's quite...
She has got a husband.
Oh, I think my little dog would object to your comment. She's quite a fragrant little person.
You're not defending your husband, though.
Pam, it's over to you. You have 60 seconds on a dog's dinner starting now.
A dog's dinner is what you would say to describe the nutritious repast which you give to your canine friend. This may be comprised of beef, pork, lamb, polony, aslet, Cumberland sausage or similar. And the name comes from what people used to leave on the side of their plate and which would normally be fed to the dog. It can also describe probably a woman done up a bit too much, as in you might say, she looks like a dog's dinner. And I invite you to picture the woman tottering along on vertiginous high heels.
Julian buzzed, what is your challenge to Pam?
Repetition of woman.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that, Pam.
All right.
Julian is correct. He's going to take over the round now. 24 seconds to talk about a dog's dinner, Julian, starting now.
My dog Albert's dinner consists of this special medicine called procholine at the moment, which you mix in with the rice and the meat because he has terrible trots. Do you know, I was up four times last night to let him into the garden. No, it's not a laughing matter, and I'm very, very upset for him. So his dog's dinner...
A buzz from Paul.
It's repetition because he got up four times.
I'm going to give Paul a point. It's a good joke, and Julian's got the round. A dog's dinner, you have 3 seconds, mate. Good luck. Starting now.
A dog's dinner is really when you make a mess of something. So Trump made...
Well done, Julian, talking as the whistle went there. We're going to have a quick look at the scores. Oh, now, it's all very close. It looks like Julian, Pam and Paul are joint. But the others are not too far behind.
The others? How many others are there?
We're not singling Shappy out, Paul. We're not singling her out.
How far behind am I?
You're not, love, you're not. You're hardly behind at all. 7 points. You're not really in the game. You've not made it onto the leaderboard yet. You've not made a mark.
No one else has got a 7-year-old peeking in with biscuits every 2 seconds.
Do you know, I have to say that Shappy is the only one of us who is homeschooling and doing just a minute at the same time.
Oh, thank you. Homeschooling's a bit of a stretch, but thank you.
Paul!
Yes?
We're back with you, and the subject on the card is Mary Shelley. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition or deviation on Mary Shelley, starting now?
Mary Shelley is best remembered today, I suppose, as being the author of Frankenstein, which is considered one of the very first science fiction novels. She was married to Percy Bysshe Shelley, who had two brothers called Bash and Bosh, and she was somebody that certainly was a great romantic author. Although she wrote other books, it is primarily...
We have buzzing from Julian. What is your challenge, please, Julian?
Repetition of author.
Ooh.
Best known as the author of Frankenstein. At the
oh,
best
yes,
known
yes,
as,
I did, then, yeah, yeah, I did.
You're double author. OK, Julian interrupted. He has 41 seconds on Mary Shelley, starting now.
Mary Shelley had an interesting, if tragically short, life. Do you know she lost her virginity in St. Pancras Graveyard, just down the road from where I'm standing, which is a strange coincidence because that's where I lost mine. But let's get back to the subject in hand. She wrote lovely...
We have a buzz from Shappy.
Oh, I'm just so far behind, Julian. Forgive me for noticing that you said lost twice. Lost her virginity in the graveyard, that's where I lost
yes.
mine.
Oh, well done, Shappy. I mislaid mine, I didn't lose it.
You never really lose it, do you? You can always get it back.
Mine's down the back of a sofa. Somewhere in 1976. Anyway, there we go. Right, we had a correct interruption from Shappy there. She wins a point. She takes over the round. Shappy, you have 26 seconds on Mary Shelley, starting now.
Mary Shelley started writing her famous book, Frankenstein, when she was only 18 years old. Imagine that. There were no computers back then, you see, so she had to while away the hours somehow. At the same age, I was doing nowhere near anything as productive. I was learning to say the alphabet backwards.
Paul buzzed in there.
Yes, we have strayed a bit from Mary Shelley.
That to me? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's always about Mary. What about Shappy?
Yeah, what about Shappy?
Okay.
Anyway, Paul's right. Slight deviation was that then, Paul?
Yes.
Deviation from the subject, Mary Shelley. So I'm very sorry. I'm going to snatch that round off you. Give it to Paul. Paul, you've got 6 seconds left. Mary Shelley, starting now.
Frankenstein's character was something that she was very particular about essaying, and everybody said at the time...
Well done, Paul. You were speaking as the whistle went. Shappy, you take this round. It's your round. It's my hometown. You have 60 seconds. Can you do 60 seconds on my hometown without hesitation and all the other things? Starting now.
My hometown, if it counts as such, is Ealing, West London. I was not born here, but have lived here for a very long time. I love it very much. The parks are glorious. It's known as the Queen of the Suburbs because of its greenery. We have Lammers Park, Walpole Park, Hanger Hill Park, a part of Gunnersbury Park. Park! 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 I was so proud.
Ealing. I just lost my mind.
You're overproud of their parks, aren't you? Sorry, Shappy. Julian, you buzzed first. I'm presuming it was the repetition.
It was the endless parks, yes. Lovely as they are.
Double parked.
She was double parked, you're right, Paul. And you have 39 seconds, Julian, on my hometown, starting now.
My hometown is Swindon, which I wouldn't recommend to anyone, although the people are very friendly. There's nothing to look at. You walk down the road and people just come and...
Pam has buzzed. What is your challenge, please?
I'm here to defend Swindon because my Uncle Sam... was a porter on the railway station at Swindon, and we always liked it.
Oh, wow.
And frankly, I was disappointed that we didn't get the Swindon accent.
It's not within my repertoire, I'm afraid.
Not within your repertoire? It's a shame.
It's all getting quite controversial here.
I buzzed as well, just to
yes,
say.
Yes, Shappy buzzed almost simultaneously. So
I had people twice.
You did, yes.
Yeah, Shappy challenged with people, which is a repetition yes. And is one of the rules of this game. So, Shappy, it's back to you. It's your hometown. You've got 30 seconds, starting now.
My hometown is famous for its film studios, Kind Hearts and Coronets, Lady Killers, Lavender Hill Mob, Passport to Pimlico were all made at the famous studios just down the road where I live. Shaun of the Dead was also made partly there. Please someone buzz, because I said made twice. Thank you.
Buzzed in there, putting Shappy out of her misery. Paul, a correct challenge from you.
Would you like to hear what it is?
I think it's the same one I was making in my head.
A repetition of Gooseberry.
That's it. It was a repetition, but what was it a repetition of?
Made.
That's right, yes, yes. Paul, you have 11 seconds on my hometown, starting now.
Broadly speaking, you could say that London was my hometown, but if we take it a little bit slower and a little... Oh, too little.
Julian buzzed.
Yes, repetition, too many littles.
Absolutely.
OK. Oh, it's close to the wire. He's got 4 seconds left. Julian... My hometown. 4 seconds, starting now.
Down Swindon, we have lovely railway station. And
we've got a buzz in from Paul, and he's got a challenge, and that challenge is, Paul.
It was a repetition of Swindon.
Oh, yes.
Julian, yes.
Silly me.
So, Paul takes the round with just 2 seconds to go. My hometown, Paul. 2 seconds, starting now.
As I look towards a distant hill, as I see running towards...
Paul speaking as the whistle blew. Congratulations, Paul. That's another point to you. Julian, we're going to start with you now. It's a historical round for you. Oh, now then. The Ides of March. What can you tell us about that? You have 60 seconds and your time starts now.
No, it's not an easy topic. You're quite right to ooh and ah. Beware the Ides of March. speech. I believe that is a quote from Shakespeare. And to be more specific, we are talking here about the 15th of that month, traditionally a date when things can go horribly wrong. You might die, as happened to Julius Caesar. He didn't listen to the warning. I'm very good at listening.
Pam, you interrupted. What is your challenge, please?
Wasn't there a repetition of Julius Caesar?
No. I think you're on your own with that one, Pam.
Oh, really? Oh. All right, well, in that case, I will retire embarrassed.
Sorry, Pam, you made that one up, I'm afraid. Julian, it's back to you. Score an extra point for that incorrect interruption. Julian, you have 34 seconds. The Ides of March, time starts now.
The Ides of March strikes terror into my soul. A cold, creeping feeling goes from head to toe, and I know doom is nigh. It won't be long before something opens the door and creeps in, leaps at me with a long metal finger. And I'll know that this is the Ides of...
Another buzz from Pam. Pam, what is your challenge this time?
Deviation, because he was talking about something coming at him with a metal finger and such like, and I thought it was quite a long way from the Ides of March.
Yes.
Except this did happen on the 15th of March, you see.
Yeah.
In my defence.
That's a date he'll never forget. He's had to seal up his letterbox, haven't you? Tell her you've sealed up your letterbox.
I've sealed up my letterbox.
He's sealed up his letterbox.
Pam, we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give you that challenge.
Thank you.
You have 10 seconds left on the Ides of March, starting now.
Beware the Ides of March is a quote from a fortune teller, and I've always been very afraid of those people because they tell you things you don't necessarily want to know and which may haunt you.
Yay! Well done, Pam. Pam speaking as the whistle blew, and it's your turn to begin the next subject, and it is tricky, but I think we can trust you with its photosynthesis. You have 60 seconds on photosynthesis starting now.
Photosynthesis is the process whereby plants are able to manufacture their own food. In order to do this in the same way as a person making a cake might assemble the ingredients, they need three basic requirements. The initial one is a gas, which is a carbon dioxide, absorbed through microscopic pores on the petals, stem and leaves. Secondly, water, which is usually but not necessarily drawn up.
Paul has buzzed.
Was there hesitation there?
Hesitation, yes, you're absolutely right, Paul. Paul has challenged correctly with hesitation. Pam, I'm very sorry you've lost that round. You have been fascinating, but Paul's got 25 seconds now on photosynthesis starting now.
At school, there was a boy sitting next to me who was writing an essay about religion, and I could tell that I thought if I take a photo of his synthesis, I might be able to get the same marks as him. So the photosynthesis happened, and I handed in my essay, and the teacher said, what are you groaning for? You're getting this for nothing, aren't you?
We have a buzz from Julian.
We'll see one. I can't think Julian's buzzing me on a bad pun, for goodness sake.
No, but if you're changing the meaning of the word and you said thesis very deliberately and then you said thesis twice, you can't, in your defence, say it's part of photosynthesis. So repetition of thesis.
That is true.
Oh, it's a technical challenge.
It is true.
So it's deviation from the original word of the round. Is that what we're saying, Julian?
Yes, I am.
OK.
And repetition to boot.
Oh, it's all the things, all the things.
It's a very difficult subject not to deviate from, because apart from Pam, no one knows anything about it, I'm imagining.
You haven't heard Julian yet.
Julian, unfortunately, has only 7 seconds. I would like to reset the clock and give him 60, but that is not within the rules. Julian, you only have 7 seconds to talk about photosynthesis starting now.
It's a very ugly word, isn't it? I know plants do it. They suck up water or something and they like the sun. That's why they grow and turn in that direction, but it's not the subject.
Julian was speaking as the whistle went, so he wins that round. It is the last round now, everybody.
Oh, I'm so behind.
Go
Come on, Shappy, come on. I wish I could say this is your round, Shappy, and that we just let you get some points.
Yeah, thank you.
I want you interrupting any time. Just jump in, OK? Right. Paul, we're with you again for... Oh, Pancake Day.
Yes, can I suggest that you, as it's the last round, I can donate my subject to Shappy?
Oh.
Oh, Shappy, would you like it? It's a nice one. It's Pancake Day. It's eggs and flour and water in a pan.
I feel five for all sorts of reasons right now. I'm excited about the pancakes. I'm excited that an adult's been kind to me. Letting me have a go. I very much appreciate it. Thank you very much, Paul.
Right, 60 seconds on Pancake Day. Your time starts now.
Pancake Day is a lovely day. Who knows when it is? Shrove Tuesday is the correct name for it. And on a pancake, you get lemons and you get sugar, Nutella, all sorts of toppings. Banana is a favourite in my house. We don't put it on the pancake. We have it beforehand because on a pancake, I don't like it. And, oh...
Oh, Shappy. I was giving you the benefit of the doubt for as long as I possibly could. Unfortunately, you left a gap so wide that we could all walk through it. And Pam challenged you. Pam, what was your challenge?
Hesitation.
You're not kidding, Pam. Pancake Day, Pam. You have 38 seconds, Pam. Your time starts now.
I used to love Pancake Day in our home. Those lovely, frilly, crispy edges and lemon juice lashed over it and sprinkles of sugar. Although in our home, we did not actually have...
Shappy has buzzed.
I thought there was a little bit of a hesitation when Pam was saying in our house. It was like she wasn't remembering where they were eating them.
Yeah, yes. Okay, Shappy, 16 seconds on Pancake Day. Your time starts now.
The biggest challenge on Pancake Day is telling your children not to flip it because God bless them, they try, but they make a mess of it. Never does the pancake end up back in the receptacle it's meant to be in. I'm not even sure if I could repeat Pan. I probably could. I didn't say it in the first place, so why I'm flapping.
With half a second to go, Shappy, you've been buzzed by Paul.
I deserved it.
Paul?
She did repeat Pan, as she said.
Oh, I did repeat it, yeah. I did.
She told us she was going to repeat it, and she did, yeah.
Yes.
It was incredible.
This is not your first time playing the game, is it, Paul?
No.
You're very good.
Shappy, you're going to get a point, love, for absolutely no reason whatsoever.
Thank you.
Paul, you're going to get a point for a correct challenge with half a second to go. On Pancake Day, your time starts now.
Isambard Kingdom Brunel didn't make pancakes.
Paul speaking as the whistle blew. At the end of the game, well, they all played marvellously. Didn't they play marvellously? Yes. As the final whistle went, the scores are in fourth place, Shappy.
Not last, fourth. That's good.
But that's so close, Shappy, so close, with 6 points. And in third place with 7 points, Pam. And in second place, Julian with 9 points, which means that we can say our winner this week is Paul with 11 points.
Thank you very much.
And there, I'm afraid we have to leave you. Playing this week, you heard Paul Merton, Shappy Korsandi, Pam Ayres and Julian Clary. We thank Ian Messiter, who devised the show, Caroline Barlow, who blew her whistle so proudly, and our producer, Victoria Lloyd, who makes the show for BBC Studios. This is Jenny Eclair saying thanks for listening, and do join us again when we next play Just a Minute. Goodbye.